Good morning. Good morning, all. On this Wednesday, the first week of Advent, this is the monthly spiritual outreach call for the American Association of the Order of Malta. Chris Rutkowski, I have the happy task from the Board of Counselors to be the moderator for these calls. And we have another wonderful speaker, great topic lined up for this month. Speaker, once again, is Monsignor Sylvester Cronin, a native of New Jersey, attending both Catholic elementary and high school in New Jersey, received his bachelor's degree in philosophy from Don Bosco College Seminary in Newton, and his MDiv, Master Divinity degree from Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland. Monsignor Cronin was ordained a priest in 1988. He served in a number of positions, serving as chaplain for Middlesex County Sierra Club, member of the Child Assault Prevention Board of Middlesex County, and Dean of the Cathedral Deanery. Senior Cronin served as a member of the Diaconate Review Board. He's been a member of the New Jersey Catholic Conference Public Policy Committee since 1999. He's currently serving as pastor of St. James Church in Basking Ridge, New Jersey. And he also happily serves as magistral chaplain in the New Jersey area. Monsignor's topic this morning is Our Lady of Guadalupe. That, I'll turn it over to Monsignor Cronin.
Good morning, everyone. It's my honor to be here with you today, and hopefully a couple things I say may be important and help to all of you. I'm going to just give you my syllabus and then my index, and I'll get going. So I'm going to first have a description of the beautiful icon of Our Blessed Mother. Then I'm going to speak about the first apparitions, the second apparition, the third apparition, the first apparition to Juan Diego's uncle, and then the fifth apparition. Then the first miracle, then I'll speak about the Tilma, and then the papal honors. And there's a lot more. There's a lot I could speak about, but that's going to be what I'm going to be doing this morning. So hope you're going to enjoy. So many people have seen the beautiful icon, I'll keep calling it an icon, of the Blessed Mother. And I'm just going to just read a little bit about what you see, what you look at when you see this beautiful icon. The image features a full-length representation of a girl, a young woman really, with high cheekbones, delicate features, and straight, unbraided, black hair parted in the middle that frames her face. She is standing, showing herself in a contemplative prayer mode with her hands joined and her little fingers separated and head slightly inclined. She gazes with heavy eyes at a spot below, to her right, and to left in viewpoint of the, from our viewpoint of left. She is dressed from neck to feet in a pink robe and blue-greenish mantle, and one side is folded with the arms, with 8-point stars, with 2 black tassels tied at the waist, wearing a neck brooch featuring a cross. Now there's much more detail about stars. I'm not going to get into that today, but just know that the high waist tassel, or what she has tied around her waist, reveals that the woman is with child. So the photo that's what reveals that she's with child. The robe has small gold motifs ornamented with vines and flowers. Her sleeves reach to her wrist. She stands on a crescent moon, and again, there's much more detail. If I were having like an hour of this, I could go into detail about all that. There's a feathered angel with outstretched arms carrying the robe on her exposed feet, which is no color. A sunburst of gold rays interchange behind, while projecting behind the Virgin. To the right, an unpainted expanse, white in color with a faint blue tinge. There is an image of a acid spill on the top right side, but it does not affect the tilma that much, or the circle of light that surrounds her. So that just gives you an idea of the beautiful image that you view, and I recommend everyone have a beautiful image of this in your home. And you can really look at it, meditate upon it, and really see the beauty of this, the icon of our Blessed Mother. I'm sure many of you know the next part of my talk, which is the first apparition and so forth. So I'm going to just go through it, and hopefully you'll enjoy it, hearing it again. But most people know this. This is common knowledge among most Catholics. This lady appeared to Juan Diego and revealed herself as the Virgin Mary. She actually said that. Supposedly, that's what some of the books say. So she revealed herself to Juan Diego and once to Juan Diego's uncle. Now, the first apparition to this gentleman, Juan Diego, first was on December 9th in 1531. Juan Diego was a Mexican peasant, and she appeared to Juan Diego on a hill called Tepeyac. Just clarification, that hill of Tepeyac was a hill that was dedicated, prior, of course, to the Blessed Mother, with the Aztecs, dedicated to a goddess. And I'm not going to get too much into detail with that, but that hill was a place where a goddess was worshipped and sacrifice was offered on that hill. But anyway, the name was changed. It's Tepeyac. And the Blessed Mother spoke to Juan Diego in his native language, the language of the Aztec Empire. And as I said at the beginning, she did identify herself as the Virgin Mary, Mother of the very true deity. That's very important. So she did say, I am the Virgin Mother, Mother of the very true deity, just like the Blessed Mother revealed herself to Bernadette at Lourdes. I am the Immaculate Conception. She said, I am the Virgin Mary, Mother of the very true deity. And she asked for a church to be built on that site in her honor, as she also did in Lourdes about 200 years later in the 1800s to Bernadette. Back to Guadalupe. In 1666, a feast day in name of Our Lady of Guadalupe was requested and approved, and the transfer of the date of the Feast of Virgin of Guadalupe from September 8th to December 12th, the latest date on which the Virgin supposedly appeared to Juan Diego, but it's not supposedly, she actually appeared to him. But so December 12th, that's when the feast day is. Juan Diego, after he had this beautiful encounter, sought out the Archbishop of Mexico City. I cannot pronounce his last name. I've tried to figure out how to pronounce it, but his name is Fra Juan de Zumarraga. I think that might be how you pronounce it, Zumarraga, to tell him what happened. Juan Diego did not expect the bishop to believe him, and so it came to pass that the Archbishop did not believe Juan Diego. So he left the company of the Archbishop and went back to his life. And then on the same day that he met with the Archbishop, he encountered the Blessed Mother, this time, the second time, the second apparition. And she asked him to keep insisting, going back to the Archbishop. On December 10th, 1531, Juan Diego talked to the Archbishop for a second time. So the Archbishop instructed Juan Diego to return to Tepeyac Hill and ask the lady specifically for a sign, some sort of miraculous sign, to prove the identity. That same day that he met with the Archbishop, December 10th, he had the third apparition of our Blessed Mother, and that occurred as he was returning to Tepeyac, Hill of Tepeyac. And he reported reported the bishop's request for a sign. She consented to provide one on December 11th, 1531. Monday, December 11th, 1531, Juan Diego's uncle, Juan Bernardino, had fallen sick. Juan Diego was obliged to attend to him. In the very early hours of Tuesday, December 12th, Juan Bernardino's condition deteriorated. Juan Diego set out to fetch a priest to hear his uncle's confession and minister him on his deathbed. In order to avoid being delayed by the Virgin and ashamed of having failed to meet her on the Monday as agreed, Juan Diego chose another route around the hill But the Virgin intercepted him and asked where he was going. Fourth apparition. Juan Diego explained what had happened, and the Virgin gently chided him, interesting, for not having had recourse to her. The words, which have become the most famous phrase of Guadalupe, are inscribed over the entrance to the basilica. She asked, "Am I not here, I who am your mother?" So she assured, but she was annoyed that he went to take care of his uncle, but she assured Juan Diego that Juan Berardino, his uncle, had now recovered, and so he did. The gentleman did recover. And then the Blessed Mother told Juan Diego to gather flowers from the top of the hill of Tepeyac, which was normally barren, especially in the cold of December. Juan did follow her instructions, and he found Castilian roses, which are not native to Mexico, and they were blooming there. The Virgin, it says, arranged the flowers in Juan's tilma or cloak, and he then went to the Archbishop of Mexico City once again and opened his cloak before the Archbishop on December 12th. The flowers fell to the floor, and on the fabric of his cloak or tilma was the image of the Virgin of Guadalupe that I just explained at the beginning of my talk. Quite beautiful, as a matter of fact. So, that brings us up to now the Archbishop of Mexico City, having now seen this miraculous sign. We have the first miracle with the tilma. And now let's talk about, for a moment, after that, what is, now I'm going to go to explanation about tilma. What is a tilma? And people, I know when I talk about this to the children at the school and to the adults, everybody says, "What's a tilma?" Well, a tilma was a type of an outer garment worn by an Aztec man and many other people in Central America. Many of you may remember the word poncho. And a poncho is two pieces of cloth sewn together, the shoulder side, and a hole in the middle where you pop your head through it. And also to be aware that the chasuble, the outer vestment of the priest, the mass, when you go to mass every day or every Sunday, we wear a chasuble, which has the form of a poncho. Open hole in the middle and blowing on the front and the back of the priest with the sides opened. So that's what a tilma is. A tilma is a garment, usually worn by men, that was like a poncho, to keep them warm. Juan Diego's tilma has become Mexico's most popular religious and cultural symbol, and this tilma, with this image, the icon on it, has received widespread church and popular support. The tilma, there are many stories about when people visit and see the tilma, that there is experiences of life change, even physical healings, some documented, some not proven, but nonetheless it doesn't matter. The person has been healed spiritually or physically. It is all about God, and so there are stories of actual spiritual and physical healings. A little problem with the apparition of the Blessed Mother, and I think I've got a minute or two. There were priests in Mexico that did not believe and were fighting against the tilma. What happened very quickly then is Franciscan communities, not pick on the Franciscans, I hope if there is a Franciscan on the phone, but the Franciscans were not accepting of the apparition. They doubted it greatly. Tried to prove that it was false. And so the Franciscans have never, I'm talking about the 1600s now, didn't really approve of the apparition. However, the Dominicans did believe in it, thought it was real. And then the Archbishop was a Dominican, and he pushed forward. His name was Montufar, M-O-N-T-U-F-A-R, and he displayed a devotion to Our Lady Guadalupe, and it was through him and the Dominican Order that helped to reveal the apparition for the spirituality of the people. So it was Dominicans who believed in it and the Archbishop. There is so much more. I hope that gives you a little bit. But then I just want to talk about a little bit of papal honors that happened. This is in Pope Benedict the 14th in 1754, May 25th, declared Our Lady of Guadalupe patroness of what was then New Spain, corresponding to Central and Northern America, and approved different texts for Lady Guadalupe. Pope Leo the 13th in 1891 granted new text, and February 8th, 1887 authorized a canonical coronation of the image, which occurred on 12 October 1895. Pope Pius the 10th in 1910 proclaimed her patron of Latin America. Pius the 11th declared Our Lady heavenly patron of the Philippines, July 16th, 1935, and was co-signed by Cardinal Pacelli at the time. He was the Secretary of State. However, after Cardinal Pacelli became Pope, the heavenly patroness of Philippines was removed by Pius the 12th. Queen of Mexico and Empress of Americas and Patroness of the Americas happened in 1945 and 1946 by Pius the 12th. Pope John the 23rd invoked her as Mother of the Americas in 1961. Pope Paul the 6th gave the image of a golden rose on March 20th, 1966. And Pope John Paul II visited her shrine on January 26th, 1979. And again, when he beatified Juan Diego on May 6, 1990, in 1992, he dedicated to Our Lady Guadalupe a chapel within St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. John Paul reiterated her title of Patroness of the Americas on January 22, 1999. She is included in the general Roman calendar as an optional memorial liturgical celebration of Our Lady Guadalupe on December 12th. Pope Francis granted the image of second golden rose by way of Cardinal Ouellette for presentation at the Basilica on November 18th, 2013. On the crown was inscribed, Mater Mea Spes Mea, my mother and my hope. The crown is stored within the chancery and is not publicly worn by the image or enshrined at the altar. It's put away. Amazing for all those popes. Final note, the Diocese of Metuchen, New Jersey, under the leadership of Bishop Cecchio, is beginning a year of prayer and understanding starting December 12th this year. And on December 12th, 2019, our diocese is going to be dedicated to the patronage of Our Lady Guadalupe. And I hope you all pray for the Diocese of Metuchen. And as we begin our year of grace and prayer for the dedication of Our Lady Guadalupe for the diocese. I could talk for 10 more hours, but I'm not going to. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It was a joy.
Thank you, Monsignor Cronin. Well, I'm ashamed to admit I knew so little about Our Lady Guadalupe and, of course, the honors bestowed by the various popes over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Thank you for giving us that enhancement to our Advent season. And as you mentioned, we're just 1 week away from the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, December 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Hope we remember that as we say our daily prayer that day. Well, thank you, Monsignor. Thank you all for attending, participating today. Just to remind you all that the monthly calls continue again next month, that being the January 2nd, 2019. The new year begins with a discussion of baptism, what it really means. a talk to be led by Monsignor Frank Caldwell. And I'm sure that'll be invigorating as well, as today's talk was. So thank you, Monsignor Cronin. Thanks to all attend. Please encourage more. And if anyone that you know was not able to make our call today, please let them know that the calls are kept on the website, and they're well archived, and actually they're well attended. So thank you all. Have a great day.
Thank you, and happy Advent, everyone.